Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
What's up, everybody? It's Spencer. I don't even know where to start, besides that was a lot of fun. Joined, as always, by Michael.
Hello, everybody, and I have a bold proclamation to start this off.
Let's hear it.
We want Zona. Bring on Arizona. I think we can get them. I think we could take them.
Do you think we could, like, put 100 on them?
I don't know. We could try. I'd sure like to give it a shot. Maybe 80. Nice round number.
I am a little disappointed from the game. There was one thing I wanted, and we didn't get it. I wanted to hang 70 on Houston.
You called it. You were trying. I think it was.
We had like 10 minutes left in the game. Yeah. And it was 56 to 42. I was like, you know what? Let's hang 70 on these a-holes.
And the further it went, the more I wanted it to. And I was a little disappointed we didn't get it. I know we're going to dive into a little bit more, but because of us not going for 70, we also missed out on cracking the top 10 of all-time offensive performances for Texas Tech football teams. So we just barely missed it.
I wasn't going to go there because I don't have that stat, but I do have some unbelievable numbers by your true freshman quarterback. Another record-setting performance from your Texas Tech Red Raiders. Last week it was your win margin. This week you have single game performance records. Alan Bowman sets it's Big 12 freshman passing yards record for single game. That's 605 yards.
Yes, and
600 yards.
The previous record was 598 yards by who was that?
Patrick Mahomes the second.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So, not bad company.
No. Dude, like, going into the season, if you had told me Alan Bowman's going to start two of your first three games and play the majority of the first game, I'd be like, you know what? It may be ugly, but dude gets better by the week.
He did. He played well today. You could tell that he checked down a little bit at first and threw some passes a little bit off, but I think he kind of found a rhythm as the game went on, and I was impressed by him. Sure. I mean, he completed 73% of his passes.
Yes.
605 yards.
I was going to bring that up. So he checked down. He threw some balls away. He overthrew some guys. Completed 73% of his passes against Houston.
Yeah, not
for 600 yards.
Not some FCS cupcake, you know.
He did better this week than he did against Lamar.
Yeah, a team that inexplicably, well, his percentage was a little better against Lamar, but I mean that was still Lamar. But against a team that, in hindsight, was inexplicably favored by at least 1.5, maybe 2, by the time the game started. I think my friend Adam tweeted me or texted me. It might have been 2.5 at some point. So,
well, here's the thing. The more we talked about it with Brian, the more I was concerned about it, which I think shows one thing. We can't trust what Brian says. But he was talking about the defense. The Houston defense is gonna squat on everything short. They're going to jump routes. They're going to force you to throw the ball downfield, trying to give Ed Oliver more time to get to your quarterback. And all I have to say is, Ed, who?
Well, I mean,
he had like one tackle. Get out of here.
His biggest impact on the game was getting Stowers to have a couple of holding penalties. I think that was his biggest impact. But to also, He had six tackles. I know, but it looked like the linemen doubled him most of the time.
Good.
When I would pay attention, they doubled him. And then I do think the fact that he clogged the middle so much really affected the running game.
Sure.
Especially the first couple quarters. I feel like at halftime it was some really abysmal.
You had like 20 rushing yards in the first half.
I will give you that. Yeah. I think that's an exact. I don't think it's like, we're just guessing. No, I think it was 20.
I think it was because they rolled with DeMarcus Felton and they tried to get him going and it was not working. Six rushes for 3 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure what was happening there.
What's that yard per carry average, Michael?
That's a half.
0.5 yards every time he touched the ball. Now, Tajon Henry, 24 carries, which is a ton for any like one guy in this offense. Finished for 111 yards. So I'm not going to ask you to do that math. 4.6 yards every time he touched the ball. Also finished with 4 rushing touchdowns.
Not a bad day for the freshman.
I think not.
Any other freshman of note that had a decent day?
He's not a freshman, though.
He's not?
Alan Bowman and Tajon Henry. Now, if you're talking about Antoine Wesley.
No, Wesley's who I was talking. Yeah, Wesley's a junior. Sorry.
Hashtag Tweezy. Finished. Oh, by the way, here's the other record from the game. He set a school record. So think about all the past Texas Tech wide receivers. There's some big names in that group. Nobody's had a better day than Antoine Wesley.
What was it, 261 yards?
13 catches for 261 yards, 3 touchdowns.
My gosh.
Averaged 20 yards per catch.
And he had I think he would have had more. He, towards the end of the game, Bowman just nailed him on a pass to the left side of the field, and it just went right through his hands. He had him. He was open. Obviously, we can't get too upset about that. But, he would have had easily another 30 or 40 on that play if he'd have made that catch.
Yeah, so he had...
And it was catchable, but it was, it still would have taken some skill, but he's demonstrated that he can do that. So another 30 or 40 would have been
pretty easy. Yeah, I was going to say, there's 18 logged targets of Wesley, and he caught 13. So 13 of 18... for 261 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Not a bad day.
You know who else had a really good day? Jadeon High. 7 catches, 120 yards.
He had a sneaky good day.
He did.
I think I realized how well he did.
Well, it started off with that really long one on the first drive. He had a catch and run for 54 yards. Interesting tidbit here. I was in the post-game press conference. What?
Whoa. Hey, yeah. how did you pull this off? Did you flash the 23 personnel badge and they just said, right this way?
You
right this way,
better Mr. believe Rogers. It. And I act like I belong there. I just walked in and was like, what's up? So he was one of the players interviewed at the end.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And he even said, you know, I wasn't supposed to get the ball in that play. And I think it was Don Williams said, are you a little disappointed you didn't score? He's like, yeah, because when I caught the ball, I was surprised that it was there and I wasn't ready to run yet.
Oh my gosh.
And he got 54 yards. And he was like, I was surprised that the ball was like, I turned around and it was there. I was like,
there it is.
Yeah. Man. Other days, sorry, I'm taking a drink of some Elixir of Life Diet Dr. Pepper. Other good days, probably one other guy of note, obviously TJ Vasher, 6 catches for 94 yards, 2 touchdowns. So your outside receivers accounted for all 5 of your receiving touchdowns. TJ Vasher was, I'm going to say quiet, but it's because he was overshadowed by somebody that set a single game record.
Yeah, I mean, those two guys combined had 355 yards.
And 5 touchdowns.
Yep. Pretty good dual wide receiver threat. And that's outside from, you know, a couple of guys. I know Cantrell is probably one that comes to mind really quickly. But, you know, we've kind of been a little depleted in with game-changing wide receivers in the last couple of years. We haven't.
Here's the other thing.
Had them like we're used to having them, and to see these guys step up.
Everybody was
is a good sign.
Yeah, I was gonna say everybody is still expecting TJ Vasher to be the guy, and I don't think like that's changed. I think it, if anything, Antoine Wesley's gonna be like, well, you got to cover me too.
Oh yeah. So, not gonna be able to just flat out double one of them.
Right, you can't shade coverage to one side of the field. Because it's going to open up the other guy.
Yep, and they will burn you to the ground.
Yeah. Obviously, Wesley had himself quite a day. He had another one of those, he caught a pass, broke a couple tackles, and then ran for many, many yards.
So, it's speaking of Wesley, I went back and checked the, he surpassed Joel Filani, who had the single game record up until today, and that was set in 2005 against Kansas State. For 255 yards. And before that, which this is kind of a great little tidbit, number 2 was Rodney Blackshear with 251 yards in 1991.
Oh, gosh.
Against Houston.
Not when
you're
throwing the ball a whole bunch. Oh, good
number
job, Houston.
Number 2 and 3 were against Houston. And so now once we shift things, number 1, 3, and 4 will all be against Houston.
Man.
So take that, Kendall.
Speaking of that, I just want to touch on some of those like end of game decisions coming from Houston. They were down 3 touchdowns with like a minute to go, calling timeouts on Texas Tech kneeling the ball. I was like, dude, you were down 3 touchdowns. Cut it out.
Was it and? Since I was at the game too, I couldn't tell if it was, I'm assuming it has to be Applewhite making these timeout calls, right? It wasn't, it wasn't Briles, was it?
No, but if you're going to hire Briles, then you have to just, that's going to go all the way around, you know, that same kind of thing is going to, but the thing that cracks me up, there's a local radio host calls Major. He calls him Major Applesauce.
I heard him call that while I was driving home.
Major Applesauce.
On their post-game show, yeah.
I like it. I can get down with that. The other thing I guess we're going to get down with is Antoine Wesley being tweezy forever. So,
right, it's official. If it was tweeted out by
the Texas Tech. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got the blue check and everything. So, tweezy.
Hashtag tweezy.
Yeah, I love it.
Let's talk about something, I don't know, maybe areas to improve upon. Defense.
On the defense. Okay.
Well, okay. I'm going to say, okay, you gave up 173 rushing yards. That's kind of a lot. However, Houston's per game season average was 277. So you held them a third under their normal average, minus 100 there. You gave up a ton of passing yards, though.
Yes.
I think missing Jayshon Johnson is hurting. But,
well, and I thought someone tweeted out or said that he was good to go today. Maybe they just decided not to play him.
Well, so I saw him warming up.
Hearsay.
And you may have been referencing what I was saying. It's like, I saw him warming up. He was with the group. He looked good doing it. It wasn't like slow or anything. Came out before the game, did not have his helmet. I was like, shoot.
Oh, man.
I don't know what changed. I think they said, I think Jayshon Johnson said he will be back next week. Some other guys, really quickly to touch on it. Injury-wise, I'm like blanking on all my words tonight. Travis Bruffy was kind of pulled out of the game. They're late. They're trying to be what they said was smart with his health. I don't know. Yes, I will be smart. I'm going to claim myself smart. Just trying to
Ward,
make sure he's,
of course.
He's healthy. Daylan Ward, supposedly he was ready to go last week. They did ask about this in the post-game press conference, and I will drop that every chance I get, that he re-injured or re-aggravated the injury and set him back, so he wasn't even dressed out to play today. For the longest time, I didn't even see Trey King on the field. Like, I was looking for him. I didn't see him until the second half, and he was in shorts and a jersey. He's still not ready. I don't know if that matters with the arrival, emergence of Tajon Henry. Because I think kind of putting himself up there for the number two running back spot. Once Ward comes back healthy. You need your running backs healthy. I mean, Henry is doing really well, but he's also a true freshman. Third on your depth chart, or fourth. Or fifth, I don't know. You just need to get your regular guys back. So your defense, a little suspect, gave up a total of 635 yards.
Mm-hmm. It was a little lopsided because the first quarter, or maybe the first quarter and a half, went so terribly.
It was so quick.
Defensively, yeah.
The other thing that our friend Chuck Hines was pointing out, that time in the game when Kingsbury went for it on fourth and two or whatever from the 48, or I don't know, whatever it was in the middle of the second quarter-ish, first like 10 minutes. Sorry, there was 10 minutes left in the second quarter, about that time. At that point, Houston had already had like 380 yards of offense in 20 minutes of game. From there on, only got like another 300, so in the last 40 minutes of the game, did 300 yards.
Which is better.
The other thing I was going to point out was that at that same point in the game, Texas Tech only had like 250 yards of offense, and they finished with 704.
Right. I wanted to point that out too, just like we mentioned earlier, the running game. I don't know what happened at halftime. But something
they figured something out. We were hearing that Ed Oliver was playing less and less as the game wore on. I don't know if it was a heat issue, that response from the Texas Tech football Twitter. Hope it wasn't too hot for you, because apparently that was the excuse Houston gave for not wearing their red jerseys.
Gosh, and what it couldn't have been a much more perfect day for football out here in Lubbock. It was just about perfect.
High 70s, low 80s. Maybe there was a little bit of humidity because there was storms. There were storms in the area. Luckily, we didn't get any rain or lightning.
Yeah, but to those Houston guys, it wasn't humid.
No, it was probably like really dry. But
yeah,
they still refused to wear their home jerseys. So 635 total yards. Most of it came in those first 20 or so minutes. I don't know.
We can't get away with. We can't get away with in most games. You know, if you're allowing 250 yards or so in the first quarter and a half, that's usually not going to slow down. It's going to get worse. So I don't want to act, you know, I want to take it for what it is. They did shore it up and they did kind of clean things up a little bit, but man, they were hitting wide open receivers. Guys were falling down. I think Fry gave up a big touchdown. So did Coleman. It was, the DBs are still one of our Achilles heels on defense.
They're still growing.
Yep.
Okay. I'm looking at the stat sheet, and there's something I saw that I wanted to touch on, is that we almost had a big boy touchdown today.
You were texting me about that. In our Slack chat.
Was going to lose it in the press box if he scored. Alan Bowman threw a rollout pass to Connor Killian, brother of Caleb Killian, the pitcher for Texas Tech baseball. Connor is a fullback for the football team. It was like, well, I don't know, second and two from the two, and he picks up 1 yard. He very nearly scored. Oh, man. Well, if he had scored, it would have been
appropriate because Patrick Mahomes.
I like it.
Well, I'm stealing that from Brian because I heard him call him St. Patrick on the podcast earlier this week. But St. Patrick threw a touchdown pass to a fullback in the NFL on like a fade.
That's right.
It was like a 50-yard touchdown pass down the sideline. Dropped it right into this fullback. And I'm all for this. And so I really wish Bowman could have connected on that too. They would have had another kindred record setting week or something.
I do want to see Killian score at least once this season.
Oh, he's got to.
It's going to be a celebration. We will shut everything down when he scores.
We've got to get a fullback receiving touchdown. We've got to get it to happen. And possibly even somehow figure out how to get a handoff to the tight end. Was it Dante Thomas or Thompson?
Thompson.
Sorry. We got to get a handoff to him. Just see what happens. Maybe he can run one in. I don't know.
There were
23 personnel goal line package, but in the tight end.
So there weren't any actual 23 personnel packages.
They were very close.
There was a diamond formation. I think it was the first or second drive for Texas Tech at the goal line.
Did they score on that?
I don't know if they scored on that play, but it was really close. I don't remember exactly the sequence. I have to go back and see if it made the highlight reel.
I wanted to point out something else. We were talking about Tejon Henry and, you know, kind of his coming out party. Of course, last week was, you know, phase one of the coming out party, but you've got to take it with a grain of salt against Lamar. But he averaged 5 yards per carry last week. And then this week he averaged 4.6. So not a big drop. And a pretty hard running kid who I think he's definitely earned that number two spot is what it's looking like heading to conference play.
Absolutely. After week two, you're like, I'm not sure what we have. I'm not sure what Houston is. For them to roll in here, having just blasted Arizona, what was it, 48-17 or whatever it was? I don't know.
Yeah, it's 31-0 at half. That's the big number I remember.
Myself included, we were just like, man, I don't know what we're going to do with Houston. It's a little scary. You beat them by 2 touchdowns. Really, their last touchdown came really late in the game. You opened up a 3-score lead on them into the fourth quarter. Like, once you took the lead before half, it wasn't in question.
No.
Because they got the ball first. I think they punted. Then you scored. You went up by 2 scores, and it basically stayed there the rest of the game. You did go, like I said, three touchdowns at one point. They scored late to pull back within 2, but you did what you were supposed to at a game where they were picked to win. Houston was picked to win. You and I both picked them to win in the Staking the Plains post.
No, I picked Tech to win.
Oh, no, it was me and Seth.
Yeah, in the podcast, I picked Houston to win, but then I had a change of heart over those 2 days.
I'm glad to be wrong.
Me too. I'm glad you're wrong too.
Because if you had started 1-2, it would have been really, really not desperate, but just really depressing times.
Like, right, and...
Oh, we're going up to Oklahoma State. They're going to kick our trash. Now you're like, Bowman could like out-duel Mr. Cornelius up there.
And I mean, Vasher and Wesley, they're going to be hard to cover. I still don't know what to think about that. They pretty much demolished Boise State today. And was that was an away game for OSU, wasn't it? Or I actually don't know for sure. No, I don't think it was because the field wasn't blue.
So, I'm not sure where they were, if they were home or not. I did see that Baylor got blasted by Duke.
Oh, I missed that.
Yep.
Dang. OU, somehow Iowa State hung around with OU probably more than they should have. And
Boise State was in Stillwater. Sorry.
TCU's currently up by one against Ohio State at halftime, 14-13. Texas is up 16-14
I think you're behind.
At half. Am I?
Yeah, because right now the score I'm seeing is TCU 21, Ohio State 13.
I am eight. Behind. I've got to hit the refresh. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're 5 minutes into the third quarter.
The OSU game was in Stillwater today. I think I remember us talking about
this. And
they
beat them by 23 points. Like, I thought that was supposed to be a closer game. But then again, so was ours.
Well, I remember us talking about their schedule and how it was pretty weak because I think they only have a handful of true away games all year. And so that kind of sounds about right. So they were at home against Boise State today and definitely took care of business.
So without spoiling any fantasy stuff, just I want to direct your attention, Michael, to Mr. Alan Bowman and his fantasy performance this week.
Oh, I haven't logged in. How's it looking?
190 points for Mr. Bowman.
Ooh. Oh, that's looking good for me.
Kyler Murray had himself.
I'm glad I got him.
Excuse me. Kyler Murray had himself a day, but only got 115 points. What a slacker. Now, I have 30 minutes remaining on players. You have 52. I am currently up 486 to 459. Have a player that the game is over put up a zero spot for you.
Who was it?
Denzel Mims from Baylor.
Oh, well, if they got plastered by Duke, that makes sense.
So the guys you still have playing are...
I have TCU's defense.
TCU's defense and Kevontae Turpin.
Right, and we were out to eat at Kraft House on the way home from the game.
That's so overrated. Dude, you've got to find a better place to eat.
I do not believe you. I had the XL grilled cheese.
You went there delicious. For a grilled cheese sandwich?
Well,
Dude.
I had chicharrones. I had chicharrones for the appetizer. They were still crackling.
So?
Oh, it's so good.
Anyway, I'm going to roast you so hard for going to a restaurant and getting a grilled cheese sandwich.
I had pancetta on it.
So?
And mushrooms. It wasn't technically grilled cheese. It was more of a patty melt. I have an issue with grilled cheese descriptions.
Yeah, so that sounds a little closer to patty melt, but... Dude.
It was good.
Whatever.
Anyway, I look up and there was a... I feel like Ohio State had just kicked the ball off and I look up and there was a TCU guy running it all the way back and I thought, oh man, this is so great. It's got to be Turpin. And it wasn't Turpin and it was their running back, but he had a 93-yard touchdown.
It sucks.
From the 7-yard line, how often do you see 90-plus yard rushing plays? That was pretty impressive.
Not very often.
I wish it had been Turpin because I'm pretty sure I put him in this week.
One last thing on fantasy. Your boy picked up Tweezy.
You did. You picked it up during the game. I think you had
during
Wi-Fi up there
the game.
In the box.
Oh, I was definitely on Wi-Fi.
That's not fair.
Logged into the media Wi-Fi up in the press box. It was in the AC. I was snacking. Oh, it was so good. Sports I did. I don't know if they're going to let me back after what happened today. I'm going to hang my head in shame. And I'm going to share it with all of you because you can't hurt me any more than my pride's already hurt.
All right.
There's a kick or something, like a punt or something. It was a media timeout. It's like, great. It's a time for me to go get a refill and a drink. Hop up, turn around. I'm right behind the stairs, right? To go up. These stairs are like a stair and a half tall. I trip going up the stairs. But twice. The first one, I kind of catch myself. I was like, whoo, that could have been bad. The very next step, I kick it again and I just wipe out. Luckily,
carrying stuff.
Oh, luckily the plate was empty because I just finished. I was taking it to the trash and my cup only had ice in it. But it was one of those styrofoam cups, and like as I went down, I landed on it. It just like, I don't know how the correct word. I'd say shattered, but it didn't. Like styrofoam doesn't shatter. I shredded this cup. And
how's your knee and your pride?
The pride. So I landed on my forearm. My pride was hurt because there were several guys, media guys that like saw it happen. Like, dude, are you okay? I was like, no. I was like, I only tripped twice. I'm good.
Hey, like, this isn't.
Had to pick up all the ice off the floor.
Oh my gosh. Who invited this guy?
Probably not going to get me invited back. Is he with that
podcast?
Probably.
All right. I wanted to point out real quick, the guy that had the 93-yard touchdown,
uh-huh.
Darius Anderson, he is currently on my bench. So with 55 points, just sitting there. So good job, Michael. Way to see the old crystal ball there.
So TJ Vasher was on my bench today too, and he scored, I think he had like 53 points on the bench.
Yeah.
I had a couple of receivers that he could have played over, like CeeDee Lamb didn't have that many points. Daquan Bowman surprisingly did. And dude, like if
we've got to touch on that a little bit.
Special
I feel like
teams. And okay, not even special teams. Daquan Bowman on special teams.
He had a rough
needs
day.
To get things figured out.
And I almost felt for the kid like it was almost a mental block.
I'm about to say I think one mistake led to the second one, but the first mistake was, it was the muffed punt. He muffed the punt. He called for a fair catch. He was running to the side. I was like, dude, just let it go, and he muffs it. And like, it's not just like he dropped it, whatever. It fell through his hands, and then like he kicked it forward to where nobody was at, except for like three Houston players, and they just dropped on it. He's just like, oh. Houston scores the very next play. Bowman goes out there to return the kick. He drops it like three times. I was like, dude, you've touched that ball. You've got to pick it up. It's like rolling around in the end. I'm like, if Houston picks it up, that's a touchdown.
Right.
Figure it out. And so I tweeted that out, and that was actually I got a GIF back from your boy, Chad Hasty. It was some dude screaming, figure it out. I was like, yes, very nice.
That's an appropriate GIF.
Speaking of, let's check the Twitter because I called for questions and comments or whatever, and I have 20 unread notifications, bunch of retweets and likes.
It's just because it's the power of the 23 Personnel Podcast.
Oh, here we go. Keith Patrick, at Keith B. Patrick, our boy.
Who I got to meet today.
Yeah, I was sad. I didn't get to find him. You said he was like in the middle of his row. I was like, I'm not going to fight that.
Oh, yeah. We had a great time. We hung out in the Fraser before the game and then during halftime. And yeah, I was glad to meet him and his wife. So,
sorry, Keith.
Good times.
Maybe next time. He submits, does Stay Wars get a pass for holding penalties based on his assignment? So as a center, Ed Oliver lined up directly over the top as a nose tackle. Does Stay Wars get a pass? What do you think, Michael?
Since we won, yes. I mean, truly, because the times that when he got those penalties, it was just terrible. It was terrible timing for it. It was when the game was really close. Our defense couldn't stop anything. And, you know, every time, I think back-to-back drives, we had the ball on first and 20.
Deep
in our own territory, you know. So it was – at the time, it was very frustrating. But looking back, you're thinking, he is trying to block one of the best linemen – or the best linemen in the country. So – I should give him some slack, but I can now because we won handily. So, sure, that's my answer.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. He had a couple of head scratcher penalties. newsflash at Stay Wars, he's always had a couple of those in his career at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And he was, like you said, going up against the probably the top D-line group and player, individual player that, you know, he probably will see all year. So, yeah.
I mean, I can live with it. Definitely in hindsight, I can live with him because it sounds like they were so close together. I think that's what made them worse. But then I don't think he got anything called on him after those two. I believe there were two of them on him, and I don't think he got anything after that. So they kind of figured it out and or were able to block it from the refs sufficiently.
Keith,
either one works.
Sent us another one. He said the defense gave up big plays, but they also got pressure on King and had big stops. Step forward, are they enough to keep us in games? Here's the thing, you got some pressure on King, not enough, because this was a guy that we'd known was prone to turn it over, prone to having some accuracy issues. Dude was hitting everybody.
He was.
Like Derek King was, I mean, he finished 30 or 51 for 431 yards, 5 touchdowns. I mean, yeah, he had 21 incompletions, but they were just hit. He just did really well for a guy that we said, if you get pressure on him, it's fine. He also ran the ball pretty well. Let me see, 11 carries, 47 yards, 1 touchdown. So he accounted for 478 yards and 6 touchdowns all by himself.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I saw enough to feel confident about the defense completely. A turnover would have helped.
Yeah, that was another thing. You didn't get any turnovers.
I think we would have had a little bit better taste in our mouth if we've gotten a turnover. But, man, Keith's right. They gave up some big plays. It may be enough to keep us in the game because now our offense doesn't appear to be as big of a question mark as it used to be. But it's not the greatest thing to try to relive that first half. I'll put it that way.
Question for you. Is there another offense on the schedule that worries you like Houston did?
Oklahoma.
Okay. They're without their leading rusher.
Right. Let's see.
And Oklahoma maybe West State? Virginia?
Oklahoma State, to be honest with you, they're, they're throwing up points on people.
Yeah, so my confidence will probably wane through the week. Yeah, but my confidence will probably wane throughout the week of how we'll do it in Stillwater. Right now, I'm like, oh, we got this.
TCU's even surprisingly, they've been kind of lackluster in offense the last couple of years, but
are they better than Houston?
Well, they could be. Because they're up 21-13 against Ohio State right now. I don't know. But I'm not sure yet.
Quit poking holes in my argument, all right? My point was trying to make...
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you were trying to get somewhere. I didn't mean to...
No, just that, Houston's one of the more explosive teams you're going to play. So you give it big plays to them. We kind of expected that. You still were able to fight back and beat them. Final score by 2 touchdowns. You had a 3 touchdown lead there late. You're making steps. The other thing, 10 minutes ago, I was going to make a point on the pressure you're getting, whether it's behind line of scrimmage on a running back or on a quarterback. If you're there as a defensive lineman and you touch that player, you need to take him down. I'm tired of seeing all these quarterbacks and running backs get hit or wrapped up in the backfield, then to just shed a 300-pound lineman like he's nothing. What is happening? Like you get there and oh, my job's done. No, your job's not done.
Kind of the Tony Romo shake, where somehow he just weasels out of something and rolls around and gets out. Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. It's kind of our coaches would tell us in the 1 year I played football as a backup to the backups, that if your hand touches the ball, you should catch it. And so I almost feel the same way about bringing down somebody.
If you touch the guy carrying the ball, you should be able to take him down.
Right.
Not that
you
same
either
thought.
Misjudge something to get the correct angle, or, you know, there's going to be some, you know, probably quite a few exceptions if we really sat and thought about it. But yeah, if you get a hand on him, you got to bring him down.
Okay. One more tweet. This is from Guns Up Nation. He said, they were an underdog at home and at one point were up 3 scores with a freshman QB. That's a pretty solid statement to me, folks. Congrats to KK and his coaching staff for responding 2-1, and the real season starts with Copycat U next week.
Man, so, shots fired all over that one.
Yeah, going into the Oklahoma State game at 2-1 and how you've done the past 2 weeks, feel pretty confident that, like, maybe we can win 5 conference games this year.
Maybe we can win
7 games or 8.
I just don't know if it's going to start in Stillwater.
But shoot, you've got as good of a chance as any at this season, because your freshman quarterback, who you were probably throwing out 2 weeks ago, be like, nope, he's not going to have any chance to take out, you know, Oklahoma State. Broke a record today, 605 passing yards.
Yeah, and in the last 2 games have put up 140 points.
Yeah, looking like he was sacked 1 time today, and it was his first time all season to be sacked.
Has yet to throw an interception, knock on wood.
Yet to throw an interception, sacked once, and his complete, like, his season completion percentage is what, like, close to 70?
Ooh, let me look that up. I think it is.
Let me look it up too, just because.
Click it up. If y'all can hear us, we're just doing all this stuff for you guys. Yeah, it's 68.9%.
Yeah. Okay. So 69% through three
he's
games.
Completed. He's 51 for. No, that doesn't include today. Sorry, that's just 51 for 74. That's not even today.
51. Okay, hold on. 74.
He's put more passes in than that. Hang on, let me do some maths here.
Yep, he is completing 71% of his passes. 71% as a true freshman. Not playing cupcakes on the schedule. One, yeah. He played one.
Well, in one of those, he came in as the backup. So
sure. All right, we're running long. We will get to a full preview of the Oklahoma State Cowboys on Tuesday. Today, you feel good. You won. You did it in a convincing fashion with a team that you were picked to lose to by a lot of people. You did it convincingly. You beat them. There's some issues you still need to shore up, obviously. I hate to say you need to be more efficient on offense. You need to be better running the ball. You need to continue to clean up the penalties. You're a freshman quarterback and receiving core really coming along. Unbelievable what they've been able to do through 3 games. Michael, you got any final parting shots before we wrap this one up?
Yeah, a couple. One of them is, I'm unsure. I would have to go back and check the archives, but I'm thinking this is the first win I've been able to attend at the Jones since 2015 or 2016. So I don't know if I'm bad luck or what, but it was really a fun experience. I hadn't had this much fun at a Tech football game in a long time. So that was great. Hearing the Matador song at the end after a win was great. And I'd also like to give a shout out to the Piccolo section, because they were rocking it all day. I could hear them from wherever they were on the field. So shout out to the Piccolos. That's all I got.
Yeah, it was fun. Not just because you won, but in the way you did it. You just simply amazed by your quarterback, your wide receivers. My one word I was going to come in is, like, I've got one word for this instant reaction. It's going to be wow, because right. Of Alan Bowman, right?
Enjoy it. Enjoy yeah. The win, man. It was a good, solid win. I was impressed with them. I think there's still work to be done on defense, but there always will be, I think. So,
yep. So everybody join us back on Wednesday for the Oklahoma State preview. For those of you that are just joining us, in terms of listenership, thanks for checking us out. Keep with us, keep growing with us. If you're subscribed on iTunes, you know, hit us with the review, subscribe and all that kind of stuff. Make sure you're not missing an episode. For Michael, I'm Spencer. Thanks for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast.